Welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Anybody that says that LeBron, why would he do that while he's playing? It's a show and sign of weakness. You know, he's buddy-buddy with the guys that he's going against. Tell him to kiss my ass. All right? With a smile, too.
Reverse flush and ain't that a smooth one.
This how it goes. When I hoop, I have no friends.
And his response was, I'm sorry, I just wanted a Frosty.
One Tyler know his ass should have got thrown out. If I was a ref, I would have tossed his ass. How dare you?
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Monday morning. We have all your action covered from another weekend in the NBA. I am Jared Weiss. I'm joined by Wansi Lambre with Rob Lopez suspending his presidential campaign. Sorry about that, Rob. But coming up on today's show, Giannis showed off his skills. Some players are hitting the buyout market and the Clippers almost got shaked. But first, we got another Zion versus LeBron matchup. The Lakers, they beat the Pelicans 122-114 in New Orleans. Anthony Davis was out because it was a back-to-back and he's got a sore knee. And it doesn't matter because the Lakers sweep the season series over New Orleans. The New Orleans could not hit a three in this one, Waz. They go 7-for-33 and they already are without J.J. Redick. Is this concerning for you as the Pelicans are trying to make that incredible comeback to get the 8 seed?
Yeah, I think if you're a New Orleans fan, it has to be, right? Like, there's at least two teams they got to leapfrog to get this thing. And Memphis, although they have the hardest schedule, they're looking a little bit healthier right now down the stretch. I think even Sacramento you need to be a little bit worried about if you're New Orleans because they've been playing well down the stretch. This is not a team that has an incredible amount of three-point shooting to begin with. So J.J. Redick, obviously, he'd be the main floor spacer on almost any team. But a team this bereft of shooting, J.J. Redick is a huge loss for them. And they said he's going to be evaluated in 2 weeks. So God only knows when he's coming back.
Yeah, you know, this would have been a good opportunity for Brandon Ingram to let everyone know, don't worry, we'll be able to survive JJ being out. But he went 5-for-23 from the field and 1-for-9 from deep. So that didn't work out. But you know what? It's okay because Zion hasn't missed a shot since he got to the NBA. He had 35 points, 7 rebounds, 6 turnovers. That was a career high in scoring. 12-for-16 from the field, pretty much all of them at the rim, 11-for-13 at the free throw line. Zion is basically Shaquille O'Neal. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. He's Shaquille O'Neal with handle. Well, handle for his size anyway. I don't think he's quite perfected what his handle is going to be ultimately going forward. But it's crazy, man. 15 games into his career, he's at a 25.2 PER. He's shooting quite efficiently, even though he's still struggling from the line a bit. And at 19, he's basically unguardable. It's kind of crazy, right? Like, barring some type of catastrophic injury, it's hard for me to envision a scenario under which Zion doesn't end up being one of the two or three best players in the NBA in the very near future. It's amazing to watch. And I think the thing that you need to understand the most is that he's already got LeBron's respect and attention because LeBron is taking these last two matchups against New Orleans pretty seriously and come out quite aggressively and even had a triple-double today, over 34 points in both outings. I think that's quite the statement right there that this early into his career, Zion Williamson already has the respect of one King James.
And hey, the King, he had another 30-point triple-double. That's his 33rd of his career, third most of all time. And his 13th triple-double on the season that ties him with Luka Doncic, the other great young phenom for most triple-doubles in the NBA this season. He did have 6 turnovers, so I guess him and Zion are the same in one way or another there. Kyle Kuzma, he had 20 points. And KCP had 13 points and 3 steals off the bench. 10 points each for AB, Danny Green, and Markieff Morris on the Pelly side. Brandon Ingram, we talked about it before, 15 points and 4 rebounds. Lonzo came aboard and an assist shy of a triple-double to go with his 19 points. And Derek Favors, he had 12 and 14. So I guess just last on this game, the Lakers, do you see them the way that they're able to handle this Pelicans team? Are they doing everything they need to do kind of heading into the playoffs to establish themselves as the team to beat in the West?
Yeah, they're going to ultimately end up with the number one seed. And I think another thing that they're doing that's quite interesting, and I don't want to step on Jade Hoy's conspiracy corner here, but maybe they didn't want to try so hard against Memphis for a reason. And, you know, giving Memphis a little bit more daylight against as far as New Orleans and the eighth seed is concerned. I don't know. I don't want to cast any aspersions here, Jared, but it's quite suspicious.
Are you saying you would not choose to face Zion Williamson in the first round after he continues to make history? I think that's
what I would do.
We'd like to pause for a brief minute to ask you, our faithful listeners, to click into the show notes for today's episode and then follow the link that is there to a very short survey. You all know so much about us, especially my passion for Russell Westbrook, and we don't really know anything about you. So this survey is 11 super simple questions, and it will take you sub 60 seconds, I promise. So head to the show notes for today's episodes and click on the link. All right, heading over to Los Angeles and the other team that shares the building for now. We'll get to that news later. The Clippers, they beat the Sixers 136-130. It's their fourth straight win. They had their full rotation, which is pretty rare. And then, of course, they shot 59% from the field because that is what this team could do when they're fully healthy. But this team that they're beating here, this isn't the Joel Embiid Sixers or the Ben Simmons Sixers. We're talking about the Shake Milton Sixers here. Is Shake Milton the most exciting player in the NBA right now?
he's quite close, obviously, Jared. No, but seriously, you know, the Clippers, it's been the whole season with this. These early weekend games, they've kind of come out lethargic in all of them, right? They even got smoked the one game by Memphis at Staples on one of these early Saturday afternoon matinee games. Today was no different. They started a bit slowly, and, you know, which is, you can understand, but at the same time, Philly got ridiculously hot. I think they were 11 of 18 from three-point land in the first half, and yeah, Shake Milton basically turned into Jerry West. It was ridiculous. I don't know how true this stat is. I don't know if we can confirm it, but he set an NBA record by hitting 14 consecutive three-pointers. It was kind of crazy to watch in person.
Yeah, well, he ended up going 7-for-9 from deep, 14-for-20 from the field. He had 26 first half points, which ties a team high for the season. He ended up with 39, which is obviously a career high for him, and 5 assists. Which is not nothing. I mean, he's really doing everything. And this is a guy who was barely even on the roster. It was looked at as a potential, you know, getting traded, dumped, or waived candidate early in the season. It's one of the most remarkable turnarounds within a season that we've seen in some time in the league.
Yeah, it was really cool to watch. And I think on the Clippers side of things, you see 30 points from Kawhi, 24 from Paul George, 24 from Lou Williams, 24 from Montrez. Reggie Jackson has kind of been much better than I think anybody could have reasonably anticipated that he would be, just getting thrown in there into the rotation. I think if you're a Clippers supporter, you're very, very happy with how this offense is starting to shape up when they have all of their pieces together. It's a, like, very highly potent, can knock you down from many different areas of the floor from many different players. So I think, you know, I think that's something that sort of shined through in this game. Now, defensively, Doc mentioned after the game that even though this wasn't their best defensive effort, the previous 3-4 games they had played really good inspired defense, so he wasn't too concerned about that. And I've personally watched the Clippers turn it up another level when they're just throwing guys like Kawhi and Paul at the best perimeter players on other teams. So I'm not too worried about the Clippers defense in that respect, right? I think their perimeter defense is so strong and unlike anything anybody else has that, you know, that's probably their biggest advantage. I think, of course, interior wise, something to watch with Montrez as your center or even Zub. But, you know, all in all, you know, these are the kind of wins you got to get. This wasn't their best game by any means. And the Sixers came in depleted but energized, and they shot hot early. But, you know, a win's a win, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, this is the second time in their franchise's history that they've had four players scoring at least 24 points. We know that they have that firepower there. They've got every type of score they could possibly want. For them, it's always been about who finishes these games. You know, when they, how do they still have that offensive firepower while being able to match up defensively? And Harrell and Lou Williams are kind of both at the crux of that issue. And, you know, they're still figuring it out. But hey, if they're scoring 136 points, then it probably won't matter. Just quick update here. Josh Richardson, he suffered a nose injury in the second quarter and he entered the concussion protocol. So we're hoping for some more good news there. They're already down pretty much all their star players. So it'd be really bad if they lost arguably their best player remaining. And just quick shout out to Al Horford, who has really been struggling, and he had 12 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists before fouling out in this one. Tobias Harris, he had a really strong game, 25 points on 11 for 21 shooting. And Alec Burks
also got
had
a nice little
points.
Tribute there, Jared. He got the Tobias Harris for his 12 months of work on the LA Clippers, got a tribute video on his Clippers homecoming.
Hey, he brought them Landry Shamet. He deserves it. Let's get to the news. J.J. Redick for New Orleans is out for 2 weeks with a hamstring injury. And as we discussed, they really are going to need him back. The Timberwolves, they waived Allen Crabbe ahead of the March 1st deadline. And the Nuggets, they're buying out Jordan McRae. The Suns are reportedly expected to claim him off of waivers. The Lakers, they're releasing Troy Daniels. Troy Daniels' agent came out with a statement saying, hey, no problems here. And the Lakers are bringing in Dion Waiters for a workout because the only thing the Lakers season is missing is Dion Waiters. So I can't wait for that to happen. Hopefully that comes to fruition. But we got to talk about something else going on in LA Waz, because it looks like Steve Ballmer is going to be purchasing the LA Forum from James Dolan after Dolan sued the living crap out of him for trying to build his own building in Inglewood. ESPN's Kevin Arnovitz had that the purchase of the Forum is imminent. Imminent is the word. The LA Times has also reported that Ballmer is in negotiations to buy the stadium. Was one, sorry that you did not win the bidding war to buy the Forum, but two, what do you think this means for the NBA?
I mean, look, Steve Ballmer has more money than God, and so therefore the idea that he wasn't going to get his stadium done, that never even crossed my mind. I knew it was going to be complicated in the courts, but you know, rich guys like money. And money talks, right? So if he was able to come to a deal with Dolan for, you know, the purchasing rights of the stadium, that doesn't surprise me, right? I'm sure it's going to be a nice amount. Dolan can pocket it and move on. He was basically because if Ballmer would have built his own stadium down in Inglewood on his own plot of land down there, he would have rendered the Forum obsolete. All of those concerts and all of those things that they're getting now as sort of the alternative to Staples Center would be finished. And so that's why he tied him up in court with that. So now, you know, he bought the everybody can kind of walk away from this happy. Dolan gets compensated for his stadium. I'm sure it's, like I said, is going to be handsomely compensated. And Ballmer gets to move his team out of the Staples Center, where literally they play under the banners of Magic Johnson and James Worthy and Shaquille O'Neal and the late, great Kobe Bryant. Like, everybody wins here, I think.
You know who's breathing the biggest sigh of relief is Adam Silver, because he had a major issue here where one of his owners was infringing on the sovereignty of another owner. Yes, and sir. This is kind of an unprecedented situation here, and it gets, well, I guess resolved amicably is wrong considering that one was suing the other, but it gets resolved, I guess, and everybody can go back to peace.
Yeah, but and the last thing we'll say about this is that the Forum is, you know, is a place packed with a lot of memories, a lot of history in the Forum. And more than likely, that thing is going to get torn down, which is pretty sad if you're a Lakers fan and all the memories that you may have had in that building. So that's tough. That's a tough one for the Lakers. But ultimately, man, I think this is how this had to get resolved.
Yeah, I could tell you as someone who grew up in Boston and they tore down the original Boston Garden when I was about 6 years old. They blew the rollout of the new arena because they called it the Fleet Center, named after a local regional bank, I guess. But eventually they renamed it the Boston Garden or TD Garden after TD Bank. And I think there's a way that you can tear down the old building and still keep the spirit of the original building alive. And you also get to sell a ton of memorabilia by tearing that thing down. So it's a nice cash grab opportunity as well. well. But I'm sure Bomber will, you know, find a way to make this work smoothly because he's done a pretty great job in every other regard with this organization. Let's get to the rest of the games from Sunday. The Bucks, they beat the Hornets 93-85 in Charlotte. But that's right, I said 93 with the Bucks. That was a shocker. It's the lowest that they have scored all year. The first time that they've been held under 100 points this season. They had scored over 100 points in 83 straight games entering Sunday, which, I mean, I know 100 isn't what it used to be, but that still is pretty impressive. Milwaukee, they've won six straight, 20 of their last 22 games. They continue to be on pace to potentially clear that 70 win threshold in one of the great seasons in NBA history. Giannis, a pedestrian 41 points, 20 rebounds, and six assists. He scored the last 9 points to close this game out. Brook Lopez, he had 16 points and 7 rebounds. Devontae Graham had 17 points for the Hornets. Terry Rozier, he had 13. Him and Graham, they combined for 3 for 11 from 3-point range. And the Hornets themselves, they shot only 8 for 35 from 3. But Marvin Williams, he went back to Charlotte. And he got a video tribute, which he spent slightly longer than Tobias Harris in Charlotte. So I think he might have earned that one. Heading over to Minnesota, they lost to the Dallas Mavericks 111-91. Third win in 4 games for Dallas and 20th loss in their last 22 games. For Minnesota, they're like the opposite of Milwaukee. No Luka Doncic, no Jalen Brunson, no Willie Cauley-Stein. Still doesn't matter. Karl Towns, he's out with a wrist ailment. But the Timberwolves, they came out. They missed 10 of their first 11 shots. Dallas had a 20-point lead at halftime. Kristaps, he's filling in for Luka as the number one option, and he had 38 points, 13 rebounds, and 4 dimes. He tied a career high with 6 threes, and he becomes the only player in NBA history with at least 35 points, 10 rebounds, 5 blocks, and 5 made threes in a game. That is the second time he has done that in his career. Seth Curry, he had 27 points. Tim Hardaway Jr., 19 points and 6 rebounds. On Minnesota's side, 16 points, 9 rebounds, and 7 assists for D'Angelo Russell. And Malik Beasley, 14 points and 3 rebounds. Heading over to Denver, the Nuggets, they beat the Raptors 133-118. The Raptors, they were missing Serge Ibaka, Fred VanVleet, and Marcus Gasol while Paul Millsap was out for the Nuggets. I feel like I say that every time I talk about the Nuggets when I host the show. The Raptors, they have now lost 3 straight. Their incredible run is starting to grind to a halt here, and there were 8 Nuggets in double figures in this one, a season-high 38 assists for Denver while shooting 56% from the field and 50% from 3. That's a winning recipe right there. And they scored 73 points in the first half, which tied a season high. Nikola Jokic, he had 23 points, 18 rebounds, 11 assists. That's his 12th triple-double of the year, right behind Luka and LeBron, as we mentioned earlier in the show. Jamal Murray, he had 22 points. Torrey Craig, 17 points off of the bench. On the other side, OG Anunoby continues to play great. He had 32 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 steals. Shot 12 for 16 from the field. Norm Powell, he's back and healthy. He had 24 points. Kyle Lowry, usual Kyle Lowry scoreline here, 17 points, 8 assists, and 5 rebounds. But Spicy P not bringing too much heat in this one. 16 points, 7 boards, and 5 assists. Heading to Sacramento, they beat the Pistons 106-100. The Pistons led 18-1 to start the game before going up 27-6. And then Derrick Rose went down in the first quarter. He had an ankle injury. He had 9 points already at that point. The Kings, they then rallied. This is the third time this season that they have overcome a 20-point deficit and actually came through with the win, which is the most in the NBA. They can thank De'Aaron Fox for that one. He had 23 points and 7 assists. Buddy Hield, he had 19 points and 6 boards coming off of the bench. And Harry Giles, the man who for some reason they didn't pick up his option, he had 12 points and 7 rebounds. On the other side, Christian Wood, 20 points and 12 rebounds. He continues his kind of breakthrough season. Brandon Knight still producing for the Pistons late in the season. He had 16 points and 7 assists. And, of course, V the God, 14 points. Last game of the day, the Warriors, they fall at home to the Wizards, 124 to 110. The Wizards, they shot 20 for 30 from deep. Steph Curry, his debut was originally going to be in this game, but that's been delayed. He still plans to return sometime in mid-March. They needed him because Bradley Beal, he had 34 points. He's averaging 42.8 points per game in his last five games. And Davis Bertans, he had 29 points coming off of the bench, 8 for 10 from deep. And of course, Andrew Wiggins, he's picking up the offensive load for the Warriors. He had 27 points. And then Michael Mulder, Eric Paschal, and Jordan Poole, they all had 17 points each. Let's get to our lines of the weekend. We got Kristaps, 38 points, 13 boards against Minnesota Sunday, and Giannis's 41 points, 20 rebounds in a win against Charlotte. For me, it was Shake Milton with those 39 points in the loss on Sunday. Also got a shout out Zion with his 35 on Sunday, and then LeBron's 34 point triple double. CJ McCollum on Saturday, he had 35 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. Bradley Beal continued his tear. He had 42 points, 10 assists, and 5 rebounds Friday in a loss to Utah. John Collins for Atlanta, he had 33 and 13 on Friday. But there is one easy pick here, Waz. Who is it for you?
For me, it's Russell Westbrook. And the reason why is that, you know, you got to admit when you're wrong, right? Like, I'm somebody who was highly skeptical of the Westbrook pickup over the summer. It seemed like a move that reeked of desperation. It seemed like something the owner forced through. And you know, I wasn't a believer in the pairing, right? Of course, Westbrook starts the season in the worst shooting slump of his career. But man, in the last 6 weeks, 6 to 7 weeks, he's played the best ball of his entire career. Now, his season stats won't bear it out, but in the last 7 weeks, he's played the best basketball of his career. And you got to give props to the Houston Rockets for doing something. Another move that I was skeptical of was getting rid of Clint Capella. They doubled down on their stars. And Russell Westbrook is now playing with the most spacing that he's ever played with. And he's killing people. He's living at the rim. He's cut down on the threes. And he's cut down on the long twos. And he's been incredible. And this weekend, in the best game of the weekend, against the Boston Celtics, he had 41 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, and an overtime win. So I got to give it to Russell Westbrook this weekend.
Hey, I've said it multiple times on this show in the last month or two. Russell Westbrook was my most frustrating player to watch in the NBA for a long time. And right now, he's my single favorite player to watch in the game. He is playing as the player that we always dreamt that he could be. But this show was all we could ever hope it could be, and now it's over. So that's going to do it for today's show. Don't forget about the other basketball shows across the Athletic Podcast Network. We still have your favorite shows like Back to Back, No Dunks, Tampering, and House of Strauss, plus over a dozen team-specific shows available from some of your favorite Athletic beat writers. Don't forget to follow on the app to get notifications for new episodes. And if you're not a member of The Athletic, which is just insane at this point, but you're in luck because you can get all of our podcasts ad-free, plus some fantastic writing across all major sports, all for a super low price. You get 40% off your subscription today, and all you got to do is just go to theathletic.com/dailydig. You never know when these promos end, so you better get there soon. And of course, as always, thank you for waking up with us. Waz, let's go home.
Ding, ding.